First Kings chapter 21, verse 1 is where we begin today. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. It says in verse 2, Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." Now, Naboth, the owner of this vineyard, was just your average guy, minding his own business. Ahab, as king, had everything anyone could possibly want. But that was not enough for Ahab. He wanted Naboth's vineyard also. And to his credit, he did try buying it. Verse 3, "But Naboth replied, 'The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers.'" He just wouldn't do it. Now, it was dangerous to say no to a king in those days, especially to an evil one like Ahab. But it is even more dangerous to disobey God. And Naboth would not do that. God wanted land to stay in the family in Israel. Naboth knew that from the word of God, so he will not sell, not even to the king. Verse 4, "So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers.' He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat." What a baby. Ahab was so spoiled that he thought he deserved everything that he wanted. And if someone did not grant every desire, well, he felt like he was being treated unfairly. So he went home and he sulked. 5, his wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you sullen? Why won't you eat?" And so Ahab did not show up for dinner. So his wife, the queen, wants to know what the problem is. He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Notice how Ahab tells Jezebel that Naboth would not sell him the vineyard. He does tell her that, but he does not tell her Naboth's good reason for not selling the vineyard. He leaves that out. That's because Ahab and people like him do not care about anything except what they want. They do not care what it may do to others. See? And they don't care about God's will. They just care about getting what they want. The reasons that they cannot get what they want are not important to them. 7. Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite." Jezebel thinks her husband is king so that he can go out and do whatever he wants to do to whoever he wants to do it. That's her idea of what a king is like. She does not understand that God puts people in charge so that they can do the correct thing and so that they can serve others, not push others around. Verse 8. "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. And the people who received these letters thought they came from King Ahab, because Jezebel, in essence, forged his signature. 9. In those letters she wrote, proclaim a day of fasting, and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Jezebel is using, or she will use, religion to get at Naboth. She has this scheme, and she is setting Naboth up. Look at verse 10. But seat two scoundrels opposite him, and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. Naboth is innocent. His only crime is that he was true to God, and he would not sell the property that he knew it wasn't God's will for him to sell. That's his only crime. There was no crime. But did you notice Jezebel wanted some scoundrels? She wants some worthless men to falsely accuse Naboth. Even a person like Jezebel understands that a person has to be worthless to falsely accuse someone. It's not that she didn't know right from wrong. It's that she didn't care. 11. So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. And remember, they think that these orders really came from the king. Unlike righteous Naboth, these leaders would rather disobey God in order to please the king. Verse 12. And so they proclaimed the fast and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death, and Naboth's children, if he had any, were stoned to death as well, to eliminate any possible heirs. Look at this. Falsely accused and executed by worthless men just to satisfy a wicked ruler. That was the price that Naboth paid for righteousness, for doing what was right in God's eyes. This world was not worthy of such a man. 14. Then they sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. Maybe no one else knew that these orders came from Jezebel, but the messenger did. That made their guilt worse, because they knew that she didn't have the right to issue orders like that. 15. Not as if, actually, Ahab would have the right to do something like that either, but as king, you know, he had the last word. Verse 15. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead. See, in those days, if a man was guilty of treason, his possessions went to the king when he was executed. Naboth was accused of cursing God and cursing the king. And so, that's treason. And so, the possessions go to the king. Jezebel's evil plan seems to have worked. 16. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Ahab doesn't even ask how Jezebel got that vineyard for him. He doesn't care how or why Naboth died. Isn't that a little suspicious? It does not seem to matter that he tells his wife that Naboth won't sell his vineyard, and shortly after that he's dead. And there's something fishy about that, Ahab? Well, certainly there is, but he doesn't care. 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Remember, Jezebel has given orders to kill Elijah, and he doesn't care. Doesn't care. Elijah is under orders from God, So he walks into Naboth's vineyard, which is right next to the palace. Elijah is a wanted man, but he just doesn't care. He's going to obey God. He's going to walk right into this situation. Verse 19. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab knew Jezebel well enough to know that she would kill Naboth to get his vineyard, but Ahab did nothing to stop her. God is a very common sense God. And so he holds Ahab accountable for this murder just as much as Jezebel is accountable. 20. Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Ahab is guilty of murder because he didn't stop it when he could have. That's just as evil as pulling the trigger yourself. And he knew he was guilty. And so he knew it was only a matter of time until Elijah the prophet would find him and pronounce judgment. 21. It says, I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. Ahab is so evil that he will not have any descendants. His family name is going to be gone. God does not want anyone on his planet being related to wicked Ahab, because all they're going to do is spread the same kind of evil that Ahab and Jezebel did. 22. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. Ahab continued to sin without repentance, even though God answered with fire on Mount Carmel. Remember the big contest between God and the god Baal? All the false gods, the prophets of Baal were up there, and it was a contest, and God answered by fire in front of Ahab. He was right there. He saw it. So God, you know, showed Ahab that he was God there. And he also, last time we saw this, gave Ahab a great victory over the powerful Syrian army. But Ahab just refused to change. And for that he will die. And for that he will have no offspring on the throne. But I suppose, since Ahab was going to give his wives and children away to pacify the king of Syria so that the king would not attack, the fact that his family will be no more probably is no big deal to Ahab. He's only concerned about himself. 23, and also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Jezebel's body will be eaten by dogs in public. And God will make it clear to all that he did not like her or her wicked ways. 24. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. And so there will be no decent burials or proper mourning for Ahab or his household. No one will care that they are dead. They are cursed because of their sin and their death and their lack of burial will indicate that very clearly. Verse 25. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel his wife. Jezebel may have been, she may have been the most evil woman who ever lived on planet Earth. She encouraged her husband to sin. She influenced him to do evil. She influenced him. It is true. But he could have said no. He was just as bad. 26. He behaved in the vilest manner, by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. Ahab and Jezebel made the worship of the false god Baal popular in Israel, and so they contributed to the damnation of many people. 27. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Ahab came to his senses. At least it looks like he did. The word of God got through to him when he got a clear message of judgment from God. When he heard that God was angry at him and that God would punish him, Ahab humbled himself. 28. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. And so God graciously will postpone his judgment on Ahab's family until after Ahab is gone and his son is reigning. By the way, his son will be very evil, just like Ahab. But notice just how God responded to even Ahab's sincere repentance. It just illustrates that no one is too far gone to repent and experience God's mercy if they will only choose to repent. God is so quick to forgive people. Next time, we'll pick up our study, finish the book of 1 Kings in chapter 2. Until next time, so long, everyone.